Shir number 31, Chav Ches Elul, Tavshin Samach Vav. This is the last shir of this year. Please make sure we come back next week. Not the last shir, but the last shir is Tavshin Samach Vav. And the new year that comes in a few days should bring us only good health for us and all our families and all of Klal Yisrael. We're not finished yet. Don't leave it. and it should be the year where we are zeichet to finally bring Mashiach to Kano. This year and all subsequent shiurim should be for an aliyah neshama of my grandmother, Sarah Chaim Bas Liba, who passed away this past Shabbos. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, we have many dictums over there, and they would say, the great rabbis would say, Hu Haya Omer, he used to say. We have times they would even repeat the same exact words of a pasuk in Mishlei or something of the sort, not a pasuk. The question is, they didn't say it, it was said by the Shlomo Melech. What are they adding here? The obvious answer to that, which was given by the commentators, is that this was their mahus, this was their essence, this is what they always practiced, they lived it. It's not a matter of they preached it, but they lived it. And that's what they were always saying. That's why this memra, that statement, was attributed to them. My grandmother would always say, if a person would say something which was not appropriate, if you had nothing nice to say, don't say it. Nothing nice to say, don't say it. It shouldn't be said. And looking back, I can't really remember a time she said something that nice about somebody else. She lived what she told her grandchildren and other people as well. Nothing nice to say, don't say it. Basically, it's the fulfillment of the positive commandment of v'ahavta l'recha kamaicha, of loving our fellow Jew like ourselves. And we are entering into Rosh Hashanah, where one of the ways and advice given to escape the holy, the strict justice and judgment is to be part of a group. Be a group of Klal Yisrael. Don't be a single individual standing before God when He's judging us. But when we are a group, part of a kehila, a congregation, part of a tzibur, then we are not just being judged by ourselves, but we are judged as a unity, as a group. And Hashem says, looks at this positive, and this positive, and this positive, as opposed to that one individual, his faults might outweigh his positive attributes. So we have over here, v'ahavtarecha kamaicha, to love our fellow Jews. And through doing this mitzvah, we should be zoicha to pass the judgment into a year of health. And it should be in the merit of my grandmother that who lived in such a lifestyle that her neshama should have an aliyah through the fulfillment of our loving our neighbors. So once again, we're holding by a shamnu, by vidui, confession, and it could get, as we said last week, a little depressing. We stand there before God, confessing our sins, one after another. And a person might once again have a little hisrashlis, a little weakness in that feeling of, how can I pass this judgment? It's too many sins. How can I pass this tremendous day of judgment? We say three times a day. To answer that question, I'd like to refer us to the Tefillah Shmona Esrei, where we say the powerful words, Hashiveinu Avinu V'Sayresecha. Right in the beginning of Shemoneh Esrei, you daven to Hashem. Hashiveinu avinu l'sarisecha. Bring us back. Teshuvah. Hashiveinu avinu, our father. Avinu. Hashem is our father. L'sarisecha. To your Torah. V'karveinu. And bring us close. Malkeinu. Our king. Father first and then king. La'avoydesecha. To your avoida, to your service. And what's next? Tahachizireinu b'shuva shalema l'fanecha. Bring us back to a complete repentance before you, Hashem. And how do we end the bracha? Haroitze b'shuva. This is what we want to hear, one of the most important points. Haroitze b'shuva. Hashem is roitze, he is page
52,
thank you.
Hashimeno?
Yes, what line number is that?
Hashimeno, line 10.
Line 10, thank you. I have a different sitter here. The last words of that bracha being Haroise b'shuva. Hashem wants our teshuva. There is no such thing, like we said, that a person has fallen too low. In this group, of course. Paro sinned to a degree where there is such thing, a point of no return. No one here at the Chas HaSholem, and no one listening to these tapes, is in such a category. No one should ever feel that well, if only that person knew how bad or what my actions were, I'd fit into that category. It's a very low category. We have to realize, Haroitze b'shuva, Hashem wants our teshuva. I saw over here in the Siddur of Avodas Hashem, a beautiful parish, that we start off Hashiveinu Avinu Sarisecha. God, bring us back, Hashem, Hashiveinu, bring us back to your Torah. And it's similar to, it's a marshal to a Ben Melech, the prince, who is taken captive. He was abducted as a young child. And after many years, he still desires to go back. He yearns for his palace, his father's home. That's the same by us. Even a person, if he left the Torah many years, Hashiveinu Avinu L'Sarisecha. We're speaking to our father. Avinu, our father. Bring us back to your Torah. The greatest aspect of tshuva is Talmud Torah. That's the greatest aspect of tshuva. And who does one go to? He goes to his father, of course. The next sentence, V'karveinu Malkeinu Melech La'avodesecha. V'karveinu. Bring us close to what? Our king. Now we're referring to God as the king. The Avoida, one of the main focus points of Rosh Hashanah, is Malchus. Shetamlichuni Aleichem, that we should realize that God, Hashem, is our king. We have different tefillos, which we add in the Shemoneh Esrei. Melech Oyei Tzedakah Mishpat. HaMelech HaMishpat. We say HaMelech HaMishpat. The focus is the Melech, the king. Over here we're saying the Karveinu Malkeinu L'Avodisecha. What is Avodisecha? Avodisecha are the mitzvahs, the commandments. We are davening to Hashem in the form of Melech to bring us back to His mitzvahs. Because Hashem is the and bring us back to what? It's Teshuva Shleima. We're asking Hashem to forgive us for our sins. And who are we asking? Like we said, we started off with, we are asking the Roitze B'Shuva. Hashem desires our Teshuva. What that tells us, as we have to realize, is the Ahava, the love of our Father, our Melech, God, that He has for His children. As we all know, with our children, ourselves, that even if they misbehave, and there are at times they can misbehave, and they can do things that might embarrass us, we look at our children as an extension of ourselves. But we all know that there's always this point, just come back. I don't want you to behave in such a fashion. Just come back. Don't act in that fashion. And Hashem deals with us the same manner. Hashiveinu avinu sarisecha. Hashem wants us to come back. He's roitzeh b'shuva. There's no such thing as a person that Hashem doesn't want to come back. You agree, Simcha? We're holding here now in, I think, page 504. Is that correct?
We were at 52.
Now, right, we're switching now to the Hashamnu, the Vidui.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay. 403, that's close. Only 100 off. That's good. Not so bad. Page 403. And it's line number...
One.
That's not so bad. Okay. Shmuel, can you pass me that siddur? Thank you. We'll be on the same page now.
Okay.
Literally, yes. I don't think it's a 503. It could be there. We are in the Siddur Chinuch Chaim Shlomo HaSholem, the complete Siddur. And we're up to V'hir Shanu. And we're saying as follows. Hashamnu, Hashanu, we have caused wickedness. We are standing before God, we are striking our heart. The hand that caused the sin, the eyes that enticed the heart, and the heart that build a desire for the sin. We are striking our heart, we are bending down in that feeling of remorse that we have caused wickedness. We have caused others to commit sins. We have influenced people to act in an evil manner. That's what Hirshanu is, a Rasha. One of the first times, not the first, possibly, but one of the first times mentioned, Rashi mentions a Rasha, is when we have the Parsha of Shmois, when the discussion of one Jew hitting another Jew, Dasan Vaviram, the hands are raised. The one who elevates his hand to hit his fellow Jew, he is deemed a Rasha, an evil person. Now this is before he hit him. He elevated his hand to hit. This rishus, this evil act, is to be taken out of our system.
Is this when Moshe went out?
Saw and he, right.
Saw and went out,
right,
and stopped it.
Right, right. Well, he
killed Reuben.
Right. Well, that's the story. Correct. Yes. Okay. That time period. Yes.
What is the act?
Well, he's worse than Russia.
He's guilty.
I'm sorry?
That he's guilty.
Well, he's even guilty. That's what Rashi is telling us over there. He's even guilty as soon as he elevates, he raises that hand. That act is an act of rishus. That act is an act of wickedness. There's a different level of thinking, there's another level of raising the hand, and there's a third level, which is the actual punch. The term resha, wickedness, applies to the deed, the act which a person did, as opposed to the thought, like we just explained. To sins committed with premeditation, rather than to sins committed by someone overcome with sudden desire. So a resha, he knows what he's doing. He thought about it. It's not a situation by the spur of the moment. On the flip side, the total opposite of this is the 3 days given to Avraham Avinu to go and take his only son. Hashem called him his only son, bring him up, and Avraham Avinu was under the impression he was going to kill his son, to shecht his son. So I heard from my Rebbe Rav Shlomo Brev de Shlita, why was it a 3 day? He explained from the Farshim, why was it 3 days? Why not go up and do it right away? Because as we know, sometimes a person, when he does something by the spur of the moment, it's not necessarily indicative of him, his personality, of his attributes. Because he saw something happen, and he responded. But here, Avraham Avinu was given 3 days to contemplate, to think, to realize, I might go kill my son. I was told to take him up. I was told I will have a nation. And now I'm told to take him up to the mountain.
We use that today. 3-day rite of rescission.
I'm sorry?
A 3-day rite of rescission.
The same concept you're saying.
3 days.
And on the flip side is when the person, something happens by the spur of the moment, it's not necessarily so indicative that this person is devout in his decision, what he made. A few years back, I was by Sheva Brachas on Shabbos. And I was sitting around 50 feet away from the scene where Mechitza started falling down on the boy. I just saw it starting to fall down. And I guess no one else, we were eating, and no one else noticed this. By the time I would start screaming, my impulses, they were like 5 tables. And as we know, that game Frogger that we played as little kids growing up, well, at the time I was quite embarrassed, but my impulse, I just leaped from one table to the next table, I jumped over the tables, one to the next, I almost knocked the mechitza on the kim itself. But by the time everybody saw me jumping on the tables, they realized, they turned around, they saw what was going on, and they grabbed the mechitza. So here we have the flip side. When a person has time to contemplate, to think about something, now in the negative aspect of it, the rishus, the rasha, like a story. I was very embarrassed afterwards. So that's what we're saying over here. We're asking God to forgive us for the rishus, these acts of premeditated sin. Included in this is Hershanos et Tzadik. We didn't judge people favorably. The Gemara in Shabbos tells us, Daf Kuf Chav Zayin Amud Beis, that if we judge someone favorably, Hashem will judge us favorably. Our actions, which sometimes might be looked upon as, you know, parif, so-so, the Chavetz Chaim tells us that it's midah k'neged midah, measure for measure. The way we deal with other people, and this is the way life is all about. The way we deal with people, that's the way. And the way we deal with Hashem, that is the way. In return, Hashem will deal with us. Moving along. Line number 2. Zadnu. We have sinned willfully. We have compounded our sins by justifying them. Mazed, we did it on purpose. Not only did a person sin, not only did we sin, but we have excuses. We grew up like this, as soon as something happened, we had something to say, we had an excuse. One of my sister-in-law says that my kids have the best excuses. She has kids of her own already, older than mine. But she says, my kids have great excuses. That's how we start off. And the problem is that sometimes we continue. And it's a very difficult aspect in life for a person to say, I was wrong. So as soon as a person sins, he right away, it's called Moira Heter. He looks for ways to explain, not only did he, it wasn't so bad, but really it's a tzaddik. Really, I did something good. Someone just told me, that a certain person was in a car accident. They were driving, they had the right of way, and then someone else ran the red light. The lady comes out of the car who ran the red light, and the lady says, you ran the red light. Zadnu. She knew she ran the light. So, but not only did she say she didn't, but she put the finger at someone else. Now, they had 4 witnesses who said, we saw her run the light, so that wasn't an issue. Over here, we're standing in front of Hashem, and we're saying, we have compounded our sins by justifying them. Not only have we sinned, but we said we're right. We didn't do anything wrong. We said the other person ran the red light. Zadnu here is worse than the previous Behirshanu. Zadnu, rather, resha, the wickedness, is the rishus. The person did something evil. But when a person is zadnu. He justifies his act. He can't repent. He can't do tshuva. It's the word sorry. Little kids don't realize it doesn't mean I'm sorry, I'll never do it again, and then you turn your back. Before you turn your back, they're doing the same thing, jumping back on the bed. Sorry means I won't do it again. Not I'm sorry and I'm doing it again. Zadnu is that the person wanted to sin. The person wanted to sin. And after he sinned, he explained to himself. Thank you. He explained to himself why it's all right.
So he doesn't make the. He doesn't try and excuse himself. Is the pain still called zadnu, or was it called somewhere else?
You're saying if he doesn't.
In other words,
find excuse for
in
this.
In other words, he knows he sinned.
In general, a person during the year.
He has a sin that he does. He knows it's wrong. He doesn't make excuses for it. But he willfully sins. Is it still...
I believe it is a level. In all these chatoim, in all these different sins that a person might have committed, there are different levels. So it's a level of zadnu. He willfully sinned. The definition of zadnu is to willfully sin. Just to explain to some degree this different level, there are two people who can eat something which is forbidden to eat. I'll give the basic example, which everybody always, pig. Person eats chazer. Two people could eat it. One person can eat it, and afterwards feels so much remorse, he can almost vomit up the food. The second person can eat the food and slap his lips, look for another piece. Oh, that was delicious. They ate the same amount of food, cooked the same way. That second person has a much greater chet. The enjoyment of the sin is a chelik, is a part of the punishment as well, is a part of the sin as well, itself. Just like the flip side, the opposite side as well. When a person does a mitzvah, he could put on a pair of tefillin, and he puts it on. Or he could put on that pair of tefillin realizing, I have this connection to God. This is my spiritual cell phone, my direct line. To Melech Malchei Amlochim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the King of all kings. He can have the proper kavanas. They both get reward for doing the mitzvah. But there's no way, ain't a shire, there's no comparison between that first person and that second person in both of those cases. So here too as well, zanu, yes, he willfully sins, so it's in the category of zanu. But it's not the same as a person who says, you know what, I didn't do anything wrong. I didn't run the red. You ran the red. Included, incorporated in zadnu is a person who constantly thinks about how to commit transgressions. He thinks, how can I sin? Now, he might not have those exact words in mind, but that's how he's living his life. What can I do next?
Same thing is also true in the opposite case where a person sins, the first time he sins on a particular thing, it did the most harm. If he continues to do it, it becomes no big deal.
That is very correct. It's a very important point, as I was mentioning. The Gemara and Chazal discuss this aspect, that a person, the first time he sins, as we all know that, even in the positive sense, doing something for the first time is difficult. Here now we're discussing the negative sense. When a person transgresses that sin, he violates that first commandment that God tells him not to do, it's very difficult. How can I have done that? But once he did it, the door is open. And the Gemara explains that a person does it a second time, and then a third time, not only in this person's mindset is it not a sin, it's mutter. It's allowed. That's what Chazal tell us. At first, it was very difficult. But then when he repeats it, it's part of his system now. Now he's allowed to do it. You tell a person, what are you doing? He's like, what do you mean? It's all fine. Chomasnu. We have extorted. We have taken advantage of the poor and the weak. Chomas. The term chomas includes several sins. The Gemara explains extortion, that when a person wants to buy something, it's different than gezel. Gezel is stealing. What's chamas? Chamas is, can I buy that? The person says, it's not for sale. So I didn't answer for sale, can I buy it? So once again, it's not for sale. So a person puts down the money and takes that item. That's chamas. Chamasna. So once again, why could this be a little worse than gezel? Gezel, a person sees, he stole. He has a stolen item. A chamson? I paid for it. What did I do wrong? I gave the money. Now, the person, there was no for sale sign. That's his problem. He forgot to buy it. I gave him the money. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Hamam p'nei chaveya barabim ein lechelek lo'ilam haba. Person who embarrasses his friend in public, he has no share in the world to come. There is not one place, and I'm not saying this because I've seen everything. One day I should marry to see everything. But there's not one place where it says a person who kills somebody, he loses a share in the world to come. So how do we understand this? Reuven goes ahead and embarrasses his friend Shimon in front of 10 people, he loses a share in the world to come. Another situation, Reuven goes ahead and he kills Shimon, doesn't say he loses his share in the world to come.
Because embarrassment is worse than death.
But why is that? The person's still living. The person who was embarrassed could still do mitzvahs.
Because the busha is, the embarrassment is that person is living, who this happens to. So that embarrassment goes on. That's a whole life punishment, potentially, every time he runs into people who witnessed him being.
You're saying it's another, he feels that embarrassment again and again and again. Every time he sees those people who are in that room, he feels that sting once again.
We just learned in Makos that if when someone was getting Makos, if they were being punished by basting with lashes, if one soiled himself during it, that's the end of the whippings, even if you only got three of them in.
That embarrassment alone makes them punter
from the rest.
So what you're saying is definitely a correct point. There are other answers as well. One answer is as follows. An answer which the reason why I tied into this discussion of Chamasno. The person, he gives the money and he steals the item. And it's stealing the item. And the reason is as follows. Why is it Ein L'Chelek L'Odam Haba? Why is it the person who embarrasses somebody? Another explanation. Loses shir in the world to come. Because when a person kills somebody, he realizes, I took away a life. He realizes the severity. It's gone. This person life is over. He cannot bring him back. He'll do tshuva. He'll repent. Chamasnu. Person who embarrasses somebody. Ein lo chelek l'olam haba. Because what did I do? What's the big deal? He's too sensitive. Grow up. What's the big deal? He won't do tshuva. A person who embarrasses somebody, that's a big deal. He won't realize that his sin is so great. In the meantime, he lives his life in such a fashion. The total opposite of how we started tonight's shir, of v'haftarech kamaych, of watching what we say to our friends. He lives his life knocking people. And if someone gets embarrassed, that's his fault. He should be a little tougher. Be impervious to these little remarks. Another explanation, it's not so applicable to tonight's shir, but once we're on the topic, is the Maral explains that Olam Haba is only shaykh, the next world is only applicable to someone who lives his life in this world with the understanding that there is a next world. But one who's going around embarrassing people, he is defaming the Tzelem Elokim. the image of God. We are all imbued with this Tzelem Elokim, the image of God. So when a person is not respecting the image of God, he is not respecting the Olam Haba. He doesn't respect God's image. He doesn't deserve to be in Olam Haba. He doesn't relate to it. It's not his world.
What about Lashon Hara? Does it not follow the same pattern, so to speak?
In which regard?
If someone speaks badly about someone, they're not going to feel remorse about it.
100% correct. Lashon Hara is one of the worst sins that a person can do.
And they lose their place?
Well, a Baal Lashon Hara. A Baal Lashon Hara means someone who is a person who always speaks Lashon Hara. 24/7. He lives his life that he goes around from one place to another place, to this place, telling them about him and him about them. Such a person also. Lashon Hara, as we discussed, I think it was the first shiur on Vidui. Lashon Hara was one of the greatest sins to prevent all of Tefillah from being answered. We're coming in a few days, 3 days, to die in front of Hashem on Rosh Hashanah. Lashon Hara is that sin, that in Stila and Gezel, which they are up there on top and the doors are locked and the Tefillahs cannot go through. A person has to do the tshuva on the Lashon Hara. And one of the ways of doing that tshuva is the acceptance of learning the laws of Lashon Hara. Because by a person saying, this is not my words, it's the words of Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim says, just by saying, I will not speak Lashon Hara, it's a nice commitment, but it won't hold water. A person has to do something about it. And the halacha tells us, Torah may be the day ma'isa. Learning brings to action. The commitment, the obligation, you have the Chafetz Chaim has a sefer called Chayves HaShmira. Small sefer. Few pages. What a worthwhile investment it is to go through that sefer again and again. Where he discusses the obligation that we have to realize we have upon ourselves, Chayva, obligation of Shmira, of guarding our mouths. Very unspoken about Sefer. You hear a lot about the Sefer Chavetz Chaim, Sefer Shmir Saloshin, a few others. Sefer Chayva Sashmira.
Well, what about the Yolam Abba
situation?
What about not someone who is perpetually religious, but someone who does?
So a person who is...
But here we're talking about someone who embarrass somebody else. That doesn't mean he goes around every day of the week going around embarrassing somebody, looking for somebody to embarrass. Embarrass them.
Right.
Loses his place in the next world.
Well, when he the question is it one act? Is he living his life in such a fashion? That's, you know, these are all different issues.
Is that an anomaly?
Right. How does this person live his life? A person who speaks Lashon Hara also is a person where the Chavetz Chaim brings down Chazal all over, where this person is not going to... It says, I just saw today another Lashon. God tells the Yetzirah, you go on the bottom, I'll go on top. And he'll be in the middle. Doesn't sound too good. I saw brought down a Chazal. Chazal tell us, Gehenim says, I cannot take this person. Gehenim, hell, says, I cannot take this person. That's how bad Lashon Hara is. Sounds pretty bad. Chamas was the Makib of Patish, the final hammer blow during the generation of the flood, when they were stealing pachas mishava pruta, less than the shava pruta, less than the value of a pruta, small amount, where someone would steal a small amount like that, really you're not obligated to return it. So they went ahead and stole that amount. Chamsan, they grabbed that amount. And the root, the source of chamsan, chamasnu, is what? Is desire. Loisachmoid. The Seres Adibris, do not covet, do not desire. Loisachmoid, the Gra tells us, is koilel, it incorporates all of the Seres Adibris. Loisachmoid, don't desire what someone else has. And that's the reason why the person pulls out the money from his pocket and puts it on the table and takes that item, because he desires what that person has. Loisachmoid is a great show of the lack of emunah in Hashem, lack of belief in God. If we believed in God properly, we would realize the shirt I have, the tie I have, is what fits me right. Not that shirt, someone else, not his car, not his house, not his lifestyle, not his money. The proper emunah in Hashem tells us what I have fits me properly. Just a quick story I said in the past, I think it's very appropriate to say over. This past Purim, my Yosef was Mordechai at Tzadik on Purim. So, my wife put on a little beard for him. And then my Achiel saw his big brother, Yosef, by 18 months, big brother, with this beard. I want a beard. Well, my wife, being the mother she is, said, you're not going to like it. She knows her kids. And, no, I want a beard. So, it was right before school, they had to go to school. So, okay, fine, so, Shushan Purim, gave him a little beard. I'm putting him in his car seat. He looks in the mirror, he sees the reflection. Abba, take it off. Take off the beard. He saw what he looks like now. So what is this? What happened here? He looked at someone else and said, I want it. He didn't violate Lois Achma. It doesn't apply to him yet. As soon as he had it, he realized it didn't fit him right. It's not for me. And I thought of this, and I said to myself, do adults do any different? Do we want that little beard? And sometimes a little beard costs a little too much. And sometimes people spend a lot more money than they have. Unfortunately, I've heard stories where people make six figure digits income. Sounds nice, right? But when they spend seven-figure digits, they can't pay the bills. A house here, a summer house there, a vacation house there. Why? Because he has it. And that person has it. Loisachmoid. If Hashem wants us to have it, we'll have it.
It's usually the wives that do that.
Well,
they spend.
Not always.
They'll spend the same.
It has aspects that, well, that's not for now. Let's get rid of that. I'm not agreeing or disagreeing, but the Yetzirah applies to all of us. We all have this, the Yetzirah. The Falnu Sheker. We have accused falsely. We continue, and with this we'll end for tonight. Haysafnu Sheker al Sheker l'chaska. We added one lie to another lie to strengthen the lies. Snowball goes down the hill, as we know, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and by the time it gets a little too big, there's a point of no return. The person feels, I can't stop now. It's just too embarrassing for the person to admit the truth. Well, it's a little white lie, that's one thing, but that snow is now black. It's a black snowball. We have brought falsehood into our everyday lives. Literally, the phrase means we have attached falsehood, which implies that we have falsely slurred other people. And that we have piled lie upon lie to reinforce the falsehood. The Gemara in Saita tells us, Nachman Beis, there are four groups of people that will not be received by Hashem. They will not be in God's presence. One of these four is a kat shakranim, the group of liars. There's a story in the Gemara in Sanhedrin. That tzadik vav. The Gemara says, I used to think nobody spoke truth until I met a certain person. Until this incident that took place. Just because we're running out of time, I'll say the incident quickly. There was a person from out of town, married a lady from a certain town. In that town, nobody died early. They all died. They all lived out their life. True story, by the way. According to the Maral, it's a marshal. Okay. What happened? One day, a neighbor came, knocked on the door, and the husband opened the door and asked, this neighbor asked if his wife is home. His wife was washing her hair, combing her hair, and he didn't feel it was appropriate to say she's taking care of herself now. So he said she's not available, she's not home now. She's not home now. His two sons died. They told him, we don't want you in this town. You don't say the truth. Leave. In this town, we only say the truth. Now, just very quickly, it sounds very severe. And there are times where a person is allowed to lie for the sake of peace. We learn it out from Avram Avinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Avram Avinu, and Sarah, that Hashem said, why was their laughing taking place? Why was Sarah laughing? Not that Sarah laughed to some degree at her husband Avram Avinu, but Hashem changed it and said, why was she laughing? Not at, but he didn't say at Avram Avinu. We see from this, Chazal tell us, a person is allowed to change a little the truth, for Shalom Bayis. There are certain circumstances. The explanation is given that this situation did not warrant such a change of the truth. Tafalu Sheker, a person says a lie and he adds to the lie. That little lie becomes a big lie. The Iyun Yaakov says a beautiful point on this Gemara. He says as follows. Before a person is born, his whole entire life, how long, how many years he'll live, how big he, everything is set. Shnoisav Ketsuvim Loi as well. The years, the amount of years he'll live are set as well. If a person will lie, what did we say earlier? Mida Kenegah Mida, measure for measure. Hashem will deal with this person the same way this person is dealing with other people. This person lies, Hashem says, I'm going back, taking that eraser. Instead of living 95 years of good health, 65 years now. 55 years. The person lies, he changes that original decree of how long he'll live. He shortens his life. Marsha says a beautiful point on that same Gemara. The first three words of the Torah, which will be laying shortly, in a few weeks, Simur Hashem, Bereishis Bara Elokim, the last three letters of those words, Tav Aleph Mem Emes. At the end of creation, Bara Elokim Lasois, once again, the last three letters of those words, Emes. Creation, whole creation is Emes. So much like Baruch Hu is Emes. The signet, the seal of God, Hashem's name is Emes. A person, once again, midik negemida, he treats others, he acts with the life of Emes, of truth, honesty. Hashem will deal with him with Emes. What happens if he's Mishana? He changes one little iota. So what do we do in math? We cancel out the zeros. We take off the smallest letter, smallest number of MS, and what are we left with? Sorry? Mace. Take off the Aleph from the MS. Death. This is the Marsha on the Gemara. Tafalnu Sheker. Person lies, and he lies again. Midvar Sheker Tirchach. We are told, Midvar Sheker from Sheker Tirchach. Distance yourself from Sheker. Run away from Sheker. In regards to chinuch, and with this we'll have to end, in regards to educating children, when a child goes and walks on the table, it's not appropriate. but the parents are not supposed to get very upset. We take the child off the table. The child will not be doing that when he's 20 years old, unless they just fix the light bulb. But sheker, if a child lies, that cannot be tolerated. A child lies when he's a child, he'll lie when he's older as well. It's a foul sheker. Shkoyach.